imagine night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides. He abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides. I'm rejoicing night and day, for the Comforter. Aren't you glad that he does? Let's stand. Oh, he abides. He abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides. I'm rejoicing night and day. Oh, for the Comforter abides with me. Hallelujah. Oh, we're rejoicing night and day because the Comforter abides with us. Isn't that a great thing to know and have the consolation that the Comforter abides with you, even in you, because he promised that he would? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But I'll be with you, even in you, until the end of the age. What greater thing could you have going for you than that tonight? Amen. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. Amen. Let's sing a verse or two of that tonight. I'm glad that he abides. We have the Comforter. In a world of no comfort, no peace, no love, we have it all. We have the Comforter. We have peace. We have the love of God that's been shed abroad in our heart. Are you glad about it tonight? Well, shake somebody's hand. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God tonight. Praise the Lord. Play a little bit of it. This narrow way abides with me.
I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this pilgrim way, for the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with.
Night and day, as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me.
Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at his feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides with me.
Sing it to him now. Well, he abides.
He abides.
Oh,
he
hallelujah.
Abides. Hallelujah. He abides with me.
I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way. For the Comforter abides with me. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated tonight while we look at our prayer request. Have several things. Brother Amos, if you get ready to pray tonight over the request, we'll just commit these things unto the Lord. I want to pray for Mark Davis tonight, my sister's son. I had to take him to the emergency room yesterday, and then again, I think today he was going to have to go back don't know exactly what's going on, heart-related problems, though. So if you would pray for Mark Davis tonight. Also, Jack Roberts, he had some dental work done, and he developed a dry socket, and he is in quite a bit of pain. So if you would pray for Brother Jack Roberts, that the Lord would just be with him, touch him. I know he's in very much pain tonight. Brother Jerry Glenn wants us to remember Gene Tillman. He's in very bad health, possible cancer, prostate cancer. Also, his wife in very bad condition. Also, they're asking that we would remember them. Jessica and Allison Ward both are home with the flu. So let's pray for those folks tonight. The Lord would heal them. Sister Sherry Hayden says, please pray for my uncle Doy. I hope I get that name right. For body and soul, he's in the intensive care unit, unresponsive. So we want to remember that prayer request tonight. Also want to pray for Brother Ayers from West Virginia. Remember him in prayer. He has infection from surgery on his appendix and is in a lot of pain. So they're asking that we would remember him. Want to pray for a Sister Moyer from Ohio. Really needs a touch from the Lord. Let's commit that unto the Lord tonight. Want to remember Sister Gail Clark. She's home with a bad cough, unable to be in the service tonight. Want to pray for Brother Jim Babb. He is at the Franklin Woods. They think that he has a kidney stone. So let's certainly pray for Brother Jim Babb tonight. The Lord would just be mindful of him. Brother Jackie Tipton wants us to remember Sister Sherry in prayer tonight. She has the flu on medication tonight, so let's pray for her. Sister Lisa Cutts says to please pray for my aunt's family. They attend Brother Charlie Spencer's assembly. Their 19-year-old Brittany has quit church and turned from the Lord. They're heartbroken and need prayer for wisdom to handle the situations that they're facing. So let's certainly pray that God would get that lady's attention and let her realize what she's doing is not right and get her back in the house of God. Connie Cook says to please remember Sandra Gale, someone that I work with. She had a seizure last week, was hospitalized, hasn't felt right since, and asked for prayer. Just a worry that she'll have another one, so just pray that the Lord would help her during this time. Carissa Bailey, homesick, needs a touch from the Lord. I want to pray for Brother Junior Davis tonight. He's not feeling well, so let's pray that the Lord would touch Brother Junior. If you have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for the Lord to do for you, certainly, we graduated another one of our senior citizens to glory at his service, memorial service, and a nice service for Brother Tracy today. And Brother Donnie just said so many wonderful things about what a treasure Brother Tracy had. He didn't have a lot, possession-wise, of this world, but he had a treasure. And, you know, if we have Jesus Christ in our life, we have a treasure that money cannot buy. So we certainly want to pray for his I think, sister was there at the service today, and maybe another kinfolk or two, but not very many kinfolks on Brother Tracy's side, I guess, of the family. So let's just pray for those that are left. And our church family, we're going to miss that guy. Brother Donnie, and I don't think he'd mind me asking or telling you this, Brother Fred Mullen, when he was here over the weekend, he had asked Brother Donnie, said, where is that guy that always sits on the front row that says, amen? And Brother Donnie had told him that Brother Tracy was very sick, and if the Lord didn't do something, that he wouldn't be around long. So I think Brother Donnie had texted Brother Fred. But, you know, you leave a mark. I want to leave a good mark, don't you? I certainly do. Let's stand tonight, if you will. Are you glad you're a Christian? Are you glad that the Lord loves you tonight? Are you glad you're on the winning team? Somebody say praise the Lord. Brother Amos, God bless you tonight. Good to have Brother Amos and Sister Lisa in service with us tonight. God bless you, brothers. Appreciate you, Brother Amos.
Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father God, tonight, Lord Jesus, we're so glad that we can be here, Lord Jesus, tonight, Father God. We realize the events of the day, Father God. Our brother has gone on. His battle is over. He's been victorious, Lord Jesus, and he's rejoicing and fellowshipping right now in your presence. Lord, those of us that are left here, dear God, Lord, we're still in a battle. But Lord God, we're conquering the enemy. Lord, I think what the John said there about the young men, they've overcome the wicked one. Lord, we thank you, Father God. We're strong, Lord. We're strong in our faith, giving praise to you. Tonight, Lord Jesus, we want to just bring before you these requests, Lord. I can't help but think, Lord, of Brother Jim, Lord, this afternoon at the funeral. And, Lord, now he's over there, dear God, in intense pain with a kidney stone. I've never had one. Hope I never have to go through that, Lord. But, dear God, we ask it, Lord Jesus, that you give our brother grace tonight, Lord. Father God, he's labored and, Lord, all this facing the enemy, Lord God, in that office on the phone and computer and so forth, Lord. And dear God, having to deal with that situation, Lord, and now this, dear God. We just ask it, God, you just help our brother tonight, Lord Jesus. May your angels be around him, Lord, and may he be undergirded by your strength, Lord. May the Paracletos be there, Father God, for him now, Lord, the great comforter. We think of the others, Lord, that was mentioned, one with a dry socket, dear God. Lord, I don't even know what it is, but dear God, there's a lot of pain there. Lord Jesus, we've all felt pain. Nobody enjoys it. We don't want it, dear God, but we ask it, Lord, for grace for those that are sick in their bodies. Lord, you see the condition, Lord. There's nothing too hard for you, Lord. We realize, Lord Jesus, you took 39 stripes. They weren't imagined stripes, Lord, but you felt them, Lord. They ripped your back apart. Lord, the ligaments, Lord, the muscles were torn from your spinal column, Lord, but you did it for our healing. Lord, when we claim those precious blood stains, Lord, we claim those river, that back that was plowed with furrows, dear God, we claim that, Lord Jesus. You took upon yourself our pain and our suffering, Lord. So we ask you for healing. We ask you for deliverance, Lord. We ask it, God, tonight also, Lord. Lord, we realize we're in a war, dear God. Well, Lord, we know that when you were here, they called you a devil. We know there was a time they hated you so much because you stood for the word, Lord God, and you were the word that was made flesh for their hour. And dear God, they even sought to cast you headlong off of a cliff one day. But dear God, you delivered, dear Lord Jesus, and we realize, Lord, you said if the world hated me, they'll hate you also. Lord, they hate us because of the truth. Men love darkness rather than light because they're deeds were evil. Lord Jesus, tonight we're so glad, dear God, that you've come with truth. You've come with light, Lord. May you bless our brother tonight. Give him a holy boldness, we pray, Lord. Give him that backbone of the Holy Ghost, Lord, like a saw log, Lord God. We ask it, oh God, help him, dear God, to loose himself from all fear, dear God, all worry, dear God. And dear God, may you speak from our brother. May we have receptive hearts and ears, Lord, and not just that, but dear God, identify with the word for this hour in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Lance. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming tonight, may the service be a blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a song tonight. 10,000 years. We'll just be getting started. Is that right? Let's sing about it tonight, if you will. 10,000 years will just be started. 10,000 years, and we've just begun. sing it to him.
Soon I'll come to the end of life's journey. And I'll meet the one who gave his life for me.
Something started here last Wednesday night, and it's going to keep on getting bigger and better all the time. The wheels are turning now. Somebody say praise the Lord. We are coming together as a body. Our love is getting greater all the time for each other. Our love is getting greater for God every day that we live. Somebody give him a big hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Oh, do you love him tonight, church? Isn't God good to us?
Amen.
He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Well, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. Well, he may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there. Right on time.
Yes, he's an on-time. I want you to say it like you believe it. He's an on-time God.
Oh, yes, he is. I know he
be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. One more time. Well, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Oh, he's an on-time God.
Yes, he is. I know.
Hallelujah. One time he showed up 4 days late, but he was right on time, Brother Terry. He was just on time. Are you glad about it tonight? He's an on time God. Yes, he is. I want you to sing it, church. He's an on time God. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I know he's an on-time God. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Well, an on-time God. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
He may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there. Hallelujah. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. Brother Jackie Benton, come tonight. Give us a song. Appreciate Brother Jackie being here with us in the service tonight. He's always a blessing to us. He's had a birthday in the last few days. Celebrated his 80th birthday. But he's just like the Energizer Bunny. He just keeps going and going and going and going. Give Brother Jackie Benton a nice hand tonight.
Tonight. Amen. He's wonderful.
Yes.
He's an on-time God.
Yes.
Yes, he is. Amen. So I'm happy tonight to be one of his, a believer.
Yes.
Amen. Glad to be in church tonight.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God has blessed us beyond measure tonight.
Yes.
To be in the house of God. Hallelujah. Love him.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I said, you know, somebody said to me, Brother Terry, let me say this. I reached 80 years old. The Bible says, you know, by reason of strength, you know, 80 years, 80. And so I reached 80. Somebody said, now you're on your own. No, I'm not on my own. I need him.
Yes.
Amen. I don't ever want to feel like that I can make it. Amen. For that, myself, all alone, amen, I need him. And I'll just take it one day at a time. Amen. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. For yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus,
and tomorrow may never be mine. So Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. Is that the way you feel? One day at a time. Sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. For yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. So Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. Oh, I'm only human. Oh, I'm just a man. Lord, help me believe in what I can be and all that I am. Oh, show me the stairway that I have to climb. And so for my sake, Lord, teach me to take one day at a time. Amen. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Oh, yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. So Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. Now Lord, as you remember when you walked among men, dear Jesus, you know, as you're looking below, it's worse now than then. Oh, pushing and shoving and crowding my mind. So Lord, for my sake, Lord, teach me to take one day at a time. Glory. Thank you, Lord. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today. Show me the way, one day at a time. Sing it now. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Thank you, Lord. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Thank you, Lord. Well, yesterday's gone, and tomorrow may never be mine. So, Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. So, Lord, for your sake, teach me to take one day at a time. Now, Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. Glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, saints.
Praise the Lord.
First John chapter 2, verse 9. I want to speak to you tonight on more about a godly man. Let me let you a little bit more about a godly man. We want to look at a subtopic first, and then we'll change it a little bit. On a godly man hates the right things. Everybody can breathe. Ready now on three. A godly man hates the right things. I didn't say people, but things. Let's read together. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whether he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Chapter 3, verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Hate is a serious thing, isn't it?
Amen.
And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him.
Right.
Chapter 4, verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen?
Amen.
I may like to be remembered in prayer tonight. Brother Darrell wanted me to mention to you that both of his daughters have got the flu. They just brought him back from the doctor a little bit ago, and he wasn't able to turn in a prayer request for them. So we want to remember them as well. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, as we approach you tonight, Lord, we're so thankful for the privilege of being able to gather together in this place. Thank you for your children. Thank you for your mercy to us, Lord. We so appreciate, dear God, your life coming down to live in us, to change us and make us acceptable in your sight. Heavenly Father, as we went today to the funeral of Brother Tracy, Lord, and another one's crossed over, another one is, Lord, their arms has been stacked, and another one, dear God, called up to your house. We're 1 week tonight, Lord. Well, we pray, dear God, that you would help us, that we can journey on and be faithful like our brother was, dear God, to the end. You see the needs of your children tonight, those that are sick and afflicted, Brother Darrell's daughters, Lord, Brother Jim Babb, Father, hurting today and sick, and they took him to the ER, and Lord, I guess they found he's got a kidney stone, so we're asking for your mercy tonight to our brother. Help us tonight, Lord God, as we look into your word. We might be a better people when we leave here than when we came. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. A godly man hates the right things. So are we to hate? It's okay for you to hold your amens and just be quiet till you kind of see where I'm going. But is it all right to hate? That depends on what we are hating. Now, God is not the author of hate. You'll never find where the scripture says that God is hate. You will find where the scripture says that God is love. You will find where God's own nature is love, and being love, then God demands correctiveness, because true love is corrective. But let's look at a little few scriptures now and see what the Bible actually says. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Psalms 119, verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Now listen, this will not only apply, of course, to men, but to sisters as well. But there are things as children of God that we must hate. There are things that we must stand against. But none of those things are people. Now, there will be things that will be so contrary to the nature of God, things that will be so contrary to God Himself, and as Christians, we will be forced to draw the line when it comes to sin. We know that. But many people get so involved in the hate that they hate the people with the wrongdoing. Watch in Psalms 119, verse 163. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. So we see then a real righteous person will hate evil. They will hate wrong. They will hate lying. A real Christian will hate sin, but will not hate the sinner. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord. Now listen how striking this is. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. But notice in all of these scriptures, it is not specifying an individual. Oh, but you say, wait a minute, Brother Donnie, how could you have a froward mouth without it being on a person? Well, you do have a point there. Have you ever smacked a mouse? Have you ever just seen a walking mouse? I've seen folks that was nothing but walking mouse. But yet, we realize that in order for it to be a mouse, it would have to be attached to a person. So why would Solomon say that he would hate a froward mouse and not hate the person who had the froward mouse? So what if the person then changed and that froward mouse was gone? And then you were still hating that person. Then you're in a fix. Now, even though they've changed the lying, they've changed the froward mouth, they've changed the evil, they've changed the pride, and you're still focusing on hating them, they might be better, but your hatred is still boiling up inside of you for that person. Now, notice this is why it's so careful that we hate. We must be careful how that we hate the right things. Proverbs 13:5. A righteous man hateth lying. How many hates lying? Rest y'all like it? Does that mean you do it? A righteous man hateth. He don't just dislike it. It's not just grievous. A righteous man hates lying. And he don't just hate it when it's against him. He hates lying. But a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Now remember, friend, the scripture and the message does not teach us to hate people, but it teaches us to hate evil and wrong. The hate the sin, but not the sinner. Hate the wrong, but not the wrongdoer. But you see, it's so much easier for us as human beings to just group it all together and hate the sin and the sinner. Hate the adultery and the adulterer. But that's not the way God looks at it. What's this in Matthew 5:43? Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love, which is agapeo, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Boy, y'all ain't shouting tonight like you was last Wednesday night when Brother Andrew preached. This is hard to shout on, ain't it? Notice now, these are the words of your husband. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. This is the way the bride overcomes. We don't battle hate with hate. No. We do not battle animosity and strife and turn right back around and give that out. That's contrary to the way God fights. We fight hate with love. Praise the Lord. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Why, Jesus? Why do you want me to do that? That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven.
For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. We're not just displaying Christ-like character when we are shouting and dancing or quoting the Bible or quoting the prophet. Oh, God doesn't do that. God doesn't send and quote Brother Branham. Brother Branham said this. Brother Branham said that. That's not being God-like just to quote the Bible. But to be God-like is when folks cast your name out as evil, when they hate you, and from your heart, you do not pray that God will destroy them. You do not pray that God will annihilate them. You pray for mercy, if there is any. And you will let God judge them. You will not be their judge. You do not pray the wrath of God kills them and puts them in a hospital somewhere. But you pray that God will deal with their poor, wretched heart. Y'all do believe this, right? Luke chapter 6, verse 27. Luke records it a little bit different. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies and do good to them which hate you. I saw a church sign today that's coming from Brother Tracy's funeral, and it said, love your enemies or love your neighbors and pray for your enemies. I thought that's much more acceptable than actually what Jesus said. But that's not what the Lord Jesus said. We are to love our enemies and pray for them, not just for our friends, but those who have done us evil, pray for them. This wasn't what y'all was expecting tonight. Brother Donnie, I was expecting you to draw a sword. I have drawn the sword of Jehovah. It is His word. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. They actually, the word despitefully is that they hunt you down. They look with such intention to try to find you out that they can use you. Oh my. And we realize, friends, that by, you know, the type of message that God has always had down through the ages, it is a message of separation. God called the children of Israel to a separation. They were to be a different people than all the rest of the people on the earth. They dressed different, they ate different, they walked different, they talked different. And some people take a message of separation as a message of hatred. And they think because you preach a message of separation and then you separate people that you're against people. No, a real true message from God is a message of separation. If it is a message to where it does not call for separation, it is not a message from God. But yet God, who calls His people to a separate life, He does not call them out and say, all right, now you hate everybody else, have absolutely nothing to do with anybody else, don't even give them a kind word. Treat them mean, treat them evil. That is not Christianity at all. Watch this. Brother Raymond says, are you in this audience this afternoon, sinner? God hates sin, but He loves the sinner. I want you to listen to this. He loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son that He might drink the bitter cup for you. Remember, He became you that you might become Him. He became a sinner separated from the Father when He screamed, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? He was separated from God in His death that you in your death might have God's presence. Now remember, He wasn't addressing this to the bride, but He said, God loved the sinner this much. Those who say there is no God, He died this kind of a death so they could be free from sin. Those who will ridicule and make fun of His word and say, oh, there ain't no heaven, there ain't no hell, there ain't no God, there ain't nothing to it at all. He died this death to loose them from the chains of sin. Think of the children. It's no wonder that when they stand before Him, He will look at them through angry eyes and tell them to depart, because He made a way. Even though their names may not have been on the Lamb's Book of Life, He made a way. They do not have to go to hell. He died the death of a sinner for the meanest, wretchedest, lost man or woman in the world today. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He was separated from God in His death that you and your death might have God's presence. He became a child of sin. Your sins, not his own, yours, that you might become a child of obedience. He took your place as a time creature that you might take his place as an eternal son and daughter of God. That's how God hates sin and loves the sinner. But do we feel the same way? Oh my. Watch this. God looks down from the heavens and God hates sin. He loves the sinner, but he hates his works, his sin. Again, he says, God is no respect of nations or people. He loves the sinner. He hates sin. And the church said,
amen.
If God lets this nation get by with the sin that it's doing, he'd have to raise up Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize for burning them up. That's right. God has to remain the same. He loves a sinner, but he hates sin. And he's just and he's sovereign and he must judge sin. So let me ask you this question then. Does God look at adulterers, liars, drunkards, homosexuals, any sin that we would want to mention of sinners, and God looks at them, and if God would look at them, does he look at them in the same way that you and I do? And look at them and say, I know them. He's the biggest liar. He's a gambler. He's a drug kingpin. That man shouldn't live. But would God look at them that way? Or does God somehow divinely look at them in a way and say, I love that soul. I came that soul might be redeemed, but I hate what they are doing. Would God treat them the way we would? Praise the Lord. Now, God in the Old Testament, of course, for the sin of sodomy, for other sins, people were to be stoned. Right? But let's not stop there. If a man had a rebellious son, and that son wouldn't obey his dad, he went and told the elders of the city, and they'd take that boy outside the city gates, and they'd stone him. Should we do the same thing? Does God want us to be people that throw all kinds of rocks? Does God want us to burn down adulterous houses? Does God want us to get into the picket line business to where we picket all that sort of thing? Many of you would never do it physically, but you do it in your heart. Oh, my. And it's such a difficult thing. Watch, Brother Ram said, God hates sin and he loves the sinner. But he hates the sin. He loves America. You know what? Don't misunderstand me. I love this nation that I live in. I would rather live here than anywhere else in the world. And I've been lots of places all over the world. Brother Joel, I'd rather live here than anywhere else that I've ever been in the world. But I hate the sin of this nation. I hate the wrongdoing. I hate where she's going. And we see that she's beyond redemption. But does it break my heart as an American? It does. This is the only home that I've ever known. Do I want to destroy her? Do I want to annihilate her? I do not. I love her. I cry for her. Don't you? I cry for the sins of our nation. I cry for the sins of our people. You know what? Whenever you realize the more you get like God, that it gives you the ability to separate people from the violent nature that they're living under. And you look at them and you say, my, how can people be so mean? I'll tell you one thing. I think, friend, don't get that kind of attitude. Don't get that kind of attitude. It'll grieve the Spirit of God away from you. I don't know about you. I need him too desperately in this hour to get anything in my heart. I need him too desperately in the hour we're living here to let anything unlike Christ get in my life.
Amen.
God hates sin and loves the sinner. He hates the sin. He loves America. But he hates her sin. He loves his church. But he hates the sin in the church. Do we? I'm asking you, do we love the church? Not just the bride now, but the church. The church world. Do we love the church but hate the sin? Or do we put them all up? Bless God, they're a bunch of cannon fodder. They ain't worth it. Don't you understand what that'll do to you? It'll change your heart one inch at a time. You'll start cutting them off, and then it'll be somebody else in our church and somebody over here in this church. And before long, you're cutting off and cutting off and cutting off and cutting off. And then you don't care about nobody but you and your own family. That's not the way God looks at it. You're talking about a great balance. Brother Bam says, you know that you've passed from death unto life because you hate sin and you love God. So you'll know you've passed from death into life because you hate sin and you love God. So a person that says they love God and love sin too, their own testimony contradicts itself. You cannot do that. It's totally impossible to be able to love sin and the evil of the day and say, well, I don't think it's so bad. I don't think really it's that bad of a time to live in. My, if you can say that, you need to have your eyes open. Amen. You cannot love God and not hate sin. But then you walk down that line. How do you divide from a man or a woman or a boy or girl that is treating you lower than a dog? Saying things about you, telling lies on you, whatever they're doing to you. And you look at them and with divine ability, you have the ability to separate them from their sin. When those words are coming out of their mouths. Those words would be written by their hand, and yet you, by the Spirit of God, can look at them and say, God, forgive them, for they don't know what to do. Make me more like you, Lord Jesus. You know that you pass from death unto life because you hate sin and you love God, and you'll stand regardless if you die or don't die. You'll stand that it's wrong and call wrong wrong and walk upright before God. It shows that your spirit, the life that's in you, is from another place. Where it's holy and pure and virgin and undefiled. Now watch in Revelation chapter 2. Of course, one of the church ages, verse 6. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now notice how the saints of God had so synchronized by divine love, their hate and God's hate was on the same page. Now, I want you to notice how God says this through John, that he said, thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Did not say they hated the Nicolaitans. Now, remember, the Nicolaitans is those that was trying to, beginning a birth of organization, trying to move in the church and start controlling the church. But the elect of God had the ability to sever the deeds from the people and pray and hope that they might be able to be saved. And God joined right in with them. Notice what God is doing. God is amening their stand. Oh, Lord Jesus. God is saying, amen. You hate them deeds of the Nicolaitans, and I hate it too. Now watch. It moved a little farther now over into the next church ages. Verse 15, Revelation chapter 2, verse 15. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Notice now, it's still people. Them, it has now moved beyond the deeds. It was starting in deed form. Now it's in doctrine form. And there's people that are holding this doctrine form. But God is still amening the church because they're not hating the people. They're hating the doctrine. Can you shake hands with the good old-fashioned Baptist brother and hug his neck and call him brother? Come on, brothers. Can you shake hands with a good old Baptist girl that's maybe really met God and really had an experience as far as what she knows and call her sister? Oh, some of you can't do it, can you? Oh, no, they're the doctrines of a Nicolaitan. But can God amen your attitude? Well, y'all getting quieter and quieter. Now notice God said, so hast them also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Let me tell you something, friend. It would have been a bad thing, I think, to been in this day and God would have had to said to you, you love that doctrine and I hate it. You love them deeds and I hate it. Whatever God hates, I want to hate. And whatever God loves, I want to love. Now listen to me carefully. I could not follow and believe this message if it was a message of hatred. Think about what I'm saying now. Could you? Could you honestly give your life, reshape the way you believe, reshape your whole entire life and function of all that you are as a human being and shape it around a message which was a message of hatred? Now watch this. Brother Bram says, get to the altar. Get them old things to pass away. Don't let me be born again. And get a peace that passes all understanding comes in. Till you can hate no more. You can envy no more. Until something that makes you love the worst enemy. Notice now, this ain't you. It's something that helps you. My Lord Jesus. Until something that makes you love the worst enemy you ever had. Not imagination. Something that'll keep you from talking about the neighbor that persecutes you. Something, oh my, that'll love those who despitefully use you. It'll make you, notice, something, it. What is it, friend? It's another power. It's another life within us. Pray for those who are indifferent and ugly towards you. I appreciate all of you loving your pastor and wanting to come to my defense. But don't come to my defense this way. Come to my defense here. Prayer. Love in your hearts. Folks post ugly things about us. You're not helping anything by posting ugly things about them. Posting ugly things, let's love, friends. Our testimony is what we want to reverberate around this place. Already doctors, lawyers, all kinds of people say, you people ain't like that. I'm hearing it over and over again. You people ain't that way. I've known you people for all these years. That's what we want to reverberate. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't want it to be our reverberation to be on Facebook. We want it to be on name book. That our name is placed on his book before the foundation of the world. And let our life speak for itself. Oh, praise the Lord. You gonna preach with me tonight? Yeah. Notice this. I love this. Brother Ben said it's proved you can't love God and hate at the same time. Bitter and sweet water won't come from the same fountain. You can't have speaking in tongues and divine healing in the church and still envy and strife and malice and hatred. You can't do it. It won't mix. God will pull out just as sure as the world. Lord, have mercy, children. We don't never want to drive him from this place. Oh, no. We don't want malice, strife, envy, hatred. None of that stuff. We want the love of God. Notice he said that's where the church is failing in one place. Overcoming. Overcoming temper. Overcoming difference. Overcoming church prejudice. Overcoming hatred. Many people tonight are shouting, speaking tongues, and right up and down the aisle hate their neighbor. Brother, you're lost. He said, that's hard to say, but it's the truth. Whether your neighbor treats you right or not, you'll love him anyhow. That's right. Whether he agrees with you or not, you'll love him anyhow. That's the way you got to do it. That's the hidden life. That's that consecrated life. You know why folks can't do this? They're missing the hidden life. They're in the message. and they've got the quotes, and they've got all that. When things arise, oh my, they get in the flesh and want to, oh, I understand. I'm a human being. I've lived in this old body of mine almost 58 years now. I don't trust him a bit more than nothing. Oh no, I don't trust him. I put confidence in that Holy Ghost that's on the inside, but not in this man right here. I know how it can be, but you know what? I made up my mind years and years ago. I'm consecrating myself to him, and that's where I want to stay in the hidden life. As long as we're fighting our battles, we're taking it right out of God's hands. But I don't know about you. I figure he's a much better general than I am. I figure he knows better ammunition, better tactics, all that sort of thing. Why should I try to fight my battles or you fight yours when he's standing or Donnie? I'll take it on. You're being reproached because of me. Let me have the battle. Oh my. What's this in question and answers? You never cast out a devil by the wrong attitude. It takes love to do that. And love is the most powerful force that there is in the world. Now if you notice, a devil is always hate. Hate is of the devil. Children, do any of us want this? Do any of us want, I mean, just one little tiny bit of hate? I don't want nothing to do with it. Don't misunderstand me. But hate is beneath who I am. It is beneath me to hate people. It's not who I am. Come on. It is not who I am. I am a child of God. I am a child of love. Hate is of the devil. And when people hate someone, remember, it is a terrible devil to despise or dislike. A terrible devil to despise or dislike. A godly man hates the right things. And none of them are humans. A godly woman hates the right things. And none of them are humans. A godly young man or a godly young woman hates the right things. But none of them are human. Brother Donnie, I need help with that. Well, the helper is here. You say, I can't honestly say that. Well, this is why the word comes. So it can show us our shortcomings and we can say, Lord God, I need help with this. You believe it, saints? Oh, it's entirely up to us whenever we're opposed and people do whatever more that they want to do with us. We can behave as Jesus did, as the New Testament scriptures teaches us. Or we can have an attitude when people cross us and when people will say all kinds of things. And then we become the bitter ones. Because in time, what they've said about you, they'll change and start talking about somebody else. It'll just change from one thing to another. But unless you get it out of you, you'll change too, except you'll change worse. Now let me say this. I do not believe God made all of us to where we'll all ever preach quite the same. We'll never sing quite the same. Our churches will never exactly worship quite the same. You go to Mexico and they have their own style of music. The brothers preach a certain way. You go to the Congo, they're different than Tanzania. You go to Tanzania, they border with Kenya, and they're a little bit closer. But you go to Uganda, they're a little bit different. You go up north to the message churches, they're a little bit different than we are here. You go out west, they're a little bit there. You say, well, why don't God want us all to be like one? Because God is a God of variety. God made us all different. Some men, man, they can stand and preach in the pulpit and hold you spellbound. They hardly ever break a sweat. They never move. And then you got old wash tub preachers like me. Man, they throw you in the washing machine and they beat the daylights out of your arms is flowing that way and that way. But you know what? It would be a wrong thing for me to try to change who I am and be like somebody else. It would be a wrong thing for us to try to say, well, you know what? We like Brother Ron Peterson's church, so we want to change our church to where we'll be totally like them. No, it would not work for us. No more than them say, well, we want to be like Happy Valley. That's not the way God made us. We're different in our makeup. We're different in the way we even pray. We're different in the way that we study. Why cannot we love God and go on to heaven together? Now let me say this to you. Because of the controversy that's been stirred of the tape that I preached on biracial marriage and mixed marriage, the media did not want the truth from me, of course. But I believe you all would like to hear the truth. I do not believe biracial marriage is a heaven or hell issue. I do not believe it would cause a person to be lost, nor do I think it would cause their children to be lost. I never said that in the first place. And for those folks that got mad at me, they should have realized them quotes that was up on them, on that board wasn't mine, no way. They was from Elijah. Amen. I do not believe that biracial people in the message are second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. I have minister friends in this message that are biracially married. I do not disfellowship with them. I never have, and I will not start doing it now. I have minister friends, message friends, pastors, evangelists, and so on that will marry biracial couples. I've never disfellowshipped one of them. Boy, y'all getting quiet and then you get loud. You know why? Because this has never been an issue with me. I have never, I'll tell you how serious this issue is with me. I have never met with the ministers of our church and even talked to them about this. Brother Terry, stand, witness if this is true or no. Have I ever talked to you about it? Brother Amos? Brother David? Brother Darrell? So if this was an issue with me, would not I convey to these preachers, look, brothers, this is where we stand and I want you to preach it. If I to you, Brother Joel? Glory. This won't make USA Today, it won't make Fox, it won't make CNN, but it'll make your heart. Do I look down on those who's in that situation? I do not. I have never disfellowshipped a brother because of that. Will it cause him problems in life? Probably. Will people look at him when they walk into a restaurant? Some may laugh at him. They may ridicule their children. In certain parts of the country, it's more accepted than others. You know what? If that's their choice, that's entirely up to them. I've never said anybody's going to hell. Oh, but you said you wouldn't marry him. That's exactly right. I won't marry divorced people either. Does that mean I'm a bad divorcist? I won't marry a sinner to a saved man. I wouldn't marry a Christian to a Jew. I would not marry a Christian to a Muslim. That I think it will cause them problems. And I don't want to sanction something that I feel like will cause them problems. I do not hate children. I hate no one. If I had hate in my heart tonight, I'd be the first one to hit this altar. And I would step down and resign from this church. Never preach again until I feel like God delivered me of hate. I hate no one, but I am passionate about what I believe. And I preach it in a passionate way. That's right. So, can we differ on these issues? Absolutely. I know, as I told you, I know brothers who differ with me. You know what? I don't hate none of them. I don't look at them and say, you need my understanding because God sent me to help the whole bride. There's one man that God sent to help the whole bride, and that was Malachi 4, not Donnie Reagan. Donnie Reagan ain't the pastor to the world. Donnie Reagan does good to pastor this church. But this is what we do. We love. Are there brothers that disagree? Sure. These black brothers is coming to be with us. It's not that I've sat down, brother, do you agree with me on this point? That's not the reason they're coming. They coming because they know I've been falsely accused. And they want to stand with me and say whether or not we agree on this point. We believe this man's a man of God. And we believe that this church was ordained of God. That's what we're rallying around. It ain't rallying around a man's flesh. It ain't rallying around a skin color. Whew. Watch this. Brother Bram says you can join church and still call yourself a Christian and a hate down in your heart, but you can't be led of the Spirit of God and do that. You can't do it. You can't cheat. You can't lie. You can't pull shady deals. It's got to be above board and the Holy Spirit approval on it. I love this adoption. I know you're familiar with it. Thus saith the Lord. It'll take perfect love to put you in that place. And that's all there was there. No matter how many religious demonstrations, how many good deeds you've done or whatever you've done, that won't count nothing on that day. It'll take perfect love. So whatever you do, lay aside everything else until you're just so filled with the love of God till you can love those who hate you. Isn't it amazing? Brother Ram didn't say, so you can quote the seals and quote the church ages, believe the deep mysteries. What good does that do, friends, in terminology if we cannot love those that hate us? I love this. Don't let root or bitterness ever get into your soul. If you do, it'll canker you. Keep love. I don't care how much people hate you. You love them anyhow. If you can't do that, you ain't sealed. You got a loose place yet. So come on back and get sealed up right good with the blood of Christ. It'll cleanse you from all roots of bitterness. And the church said,
amen.
Now, let's move to another aspect of a godly man. A godly man is a praying man. A godly man is a praying man. Psalms 27:8, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Now notice the deep is responding to the deep. There's something in God that longs for intimate time with his children. So God throws out the deep and says, seek my face. Then if you've got a deep in you to respond, you'll say, I'll listen to a tape instead. I'll read a book instead. I'll listen to music. No. If there's a deep in you responding to that call, then if God said, seek my face, then the deep in you will say, thy face will I seek, O Lord. Now, a godly man is a praying man. Now, remember, this is not only for men, of course, but for sisters and young people as well. Proverbs 15:8, Solomon said, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. You mean God actually gets delight out of hearing the saints pray? It ain't no wonder Satan don't want us to pray, children. Can you imagine you being able to give God something that angels cannot give him? Cherubims cannot give him. The earth, the universe, all the planets and the stars, they cannot give God delight. But for you and I, to go into his presence and pray and spend time in the presence of God, it actually gives God delight. Would you love to do that to God? Notice Jesus in Luke 18:1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now look, a praying man is going to be a man that will always pray. Now does that mean he's going to pray 24/7? That's not the word that Jesus used. But he will be a consistent praying man. Now we know David prayed 7 times a day. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. The Muslims prayed 3 times a day. Different people set different time frame on it. To me, that is becoming so methodical in the day that we live that people meet their religious thing, well, I pray 3 times. But I believe as we move into an understanding of what prayer really is, that we can realize it's not so much that we just pray in the morning and at noon and before we go to bed at night, but we can go with prayer on our hearts. That we actually go in the spirit of prayer. Oh. Notice in Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Look at the word continuing, to continue steadfastly, to be devoted or constant to one, to give unremitting care to a thing, to be in constant readiness, wait on constantly. So here Paul is telling the people to be continually instant in prayer. That is, stand before you. Oh, but Brother Donnie, I've got to make the bed. I've got to wash the dishes. I've got to get the kids ready. Sure. He's not telling you to let your housework go, sisters. He's not saying, brother, stay home and quit your jobs and stay home so you continue to pray. But on your job when you've got the opportunity. Tell me something. How long does it take you to text your friend? How long does it take you to check the price of platinum, brothers, and gold and silver, and check the stocks and check this and that and the other? Seconds? How long does it take you to answer a text from this person or that person or that person? Seconds? And yet with our phones, if we're not careful, our phones will replace readiness in prayer. Friends, message folks are becoming addicted to their iPads and their iPhones. We got Facebook junkies all over the message. Probably some in this church. Did some of y'all get your Facebook fixed before you come to church? I definitely wouldn't want you to OD here in church. What you need, brother? What you need is this a spasm? Is this a spell? Facebook! I need my Facebook fixed. You need to be fixed, all right, but not by Facebook. Praise the Lord. A lot of you folks would be a lot better off if you get rid of that bunch of junk anyhow. You feed on that old negative stuff. You feed on all kinds of trash. And then you wonder why you ain't got no joy in God. Clean up your house. Clean up what you're feeding on. Clean up what you're reading all the time. Well, I made half mad on the first part. Now I've made the other half mad. At least we got one thing in common. Everybody's mad. Watch this now. In Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18, Paul says, praying with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer. That is, don't neglect it. But Brother Donnie, my life is so busy. I can't just go to the closet. Closet? Do you think I'm talking about just you getting down on your knees? I learned something from my father many, many years ago. That he loved it when I talked to him. No matter where I was laying, sitting, squatting, walking, jumping, shooting, running, hanging out of a tree stand, wherever I was at. He loved fellowship with me. For those of you who feel like God only hears you when you're down on your hands and your face, I love that too. And there's nothing that'll take the place of that. You're letting the devil rob you. You're letting the devil rob you of intimate time. Oh, Brother Donnie, what are you talking about? From the time you pull in the drive-thru in McDonald's and place your order to the time you get up to the window, you could done been having a conversation with your daddy. Praise the Lord. Instead of getting mad at them people in front of you and blowing your horn, I wish they'd go on. You get caught at the traffic light instead of hooting your horn. Spend time in fellowship with God. But Brother Donnie, don't you think that's dangerous with your eyes closed? Who said prayer had to be made with your eyes closed? Jesus prayed with his eyes wide open. Don't you see what tradition has done? Somehow in people's minds, they think this is the holy approach to God. That's a lie. Listen to me. That is a lie. Do you think God only hears you when your eyes are closed? I'll be having a whole lot more funerals if that's the way it's going to be. What is it? Tradition. Why do we think it has to be on our knees? The Holy Ghost fell on Peter and them when they were sitting. It filled all the house where they were sitting. One of these days, some of y'all gonna find out you never got it up here beating on the altars while you're sitting out here in the Word. And the Holy Ghost sealed your soul. Your mouth might have been wide open praising God and it went right down in there and sealed you. Satan knows if he can so constrict us. It's got to be on our knees. I've got to have my eyes closed. And the kids can't be around. And the cell phone, and I can't do nothing. Don't you see what you're doing? You're wrapping yourself up where you'll never pray. You know how I pray? I pray to my Lord Jesus as if He was and is my dearest friend. I don't need to use these and thous and wherefores and all that sort of thing. I talk to Him like my friend because He is. I talk to Him like my father because He is. I talk to Him like my brother because He is. I just love talking to Him. And I found that years ago. He does not just have to be in the holy sanctum. It's got to be here in church. Hey, God has given me so many revelations. And I've had such wonderful times with pushing a buggy down Lowe's. Picking up a can of paint or a bottle of stripper or a whatever more and wiping my eyes. And people walking by and looking at him and said, there ain't no onions in here. No, there wasn't no onions. But me and my daddy was having a time. Oh, you say God won't do that. He may not for you, but He will for me because I allow Him to. God will meet me in Lowe's. He'll meet me at Home Depot. He'll meet you at Walmart if you can get through all the racket. He'll meet you anywhere that you'll let Him in. It's in the condition of your heart. And Satan does not want us to believe that. Watch this one in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Probably more of you have done that the last week or so than you've ever done in your life. You are living examples that it can be done. Now, this is not prayer that cannot be interrupted, but it's actually prayer whenever possible. Look at this. I'll tell you, I just love the way the Holy Ghost anointed the men of God to be able to write the word. The word here that Paul uses is adelapatos, which is the Greek word for a hacking cough. So, Lord Jesus, thank you for your good. I just can't get rid of this. I just. Can you imagine? He says, y'all know how you need to pray. Like you've got this bad cough and you just can't get rid of it. Oh my, hallelujah! Children, what kind of people would we be on this hill if we got so in love with the Lord and we realized we could pray to God like... Excuse me. Boy, so cough, I just can't get rid of it. Oh, praise God, this prayer life, I just can't get rid of it. I just can't stop. I'm gonna go to the bathroom to wash my hands and I go over here and get a can of soup and I go. Some of y'all looking how to start one? It ought to be trying to figure out. You're trying to figure out how to pray? Get the cough. Oh, glory! Get the cough, my brother! Don't laugh at me. Paul's the one to use this word. Wonder what kind of homes would have. What kind of men would be. What kind of women would be. What kind of children would be. If this mentality of prayer was so real to us. Lord Jesus, I love you today. Thank you for your kindness and your mercy to me, Lord.
Lord, I've got 5 seconds between you and the checkout up there. Instead of sitting here looking at the nasty, filthy tabloids, instead of answering my texts, instead of looking at this, that, and the other, I'll smile. I think I'll spend this next 10 seconds coughing. If you got the whooping cough, it's the body change cough. Woo! I've got cough drops. Do you need them? Oh, I like it. You need cure? I'm just so glad I've got it. What about you? Some of y'all understand what I'm talking about? That you just can't go. Sometimes you can't go from just morning prayer to noon prayer without talking to him. Don't you understand why you can't? You got it. You got it. You can't get rid of it. There ain't no cough syrup. There ain't no cough pills. There ain't no lemon drops. There ain't no honey. It's between you and your honey. That's why you don't want rid of it. Why you gotta pray? You gotta talk to him. First Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Now watch this setting. Lifting up holy hands. Without wrath and doubting. Now without that in Walmart, please spare my picture again from not being in the paper. There's a time to lift holy hands. Lowe's may not be the ideal place. It's okay to cough in there, though. But you say, Brother Donnie, will my prayer matter? I want you to listen to this. Brother Branham said, someone said to me, I believe it was last evening, said, Brother Branham, where does this come from? Talking about his meetings and the supernatural and all that. How are you able to go meeting after meeting and stay under the anointing? Even one sign made Jesus weak when the woman touched his garment. I've seen you stand there for an hour under that. And I said, I'd like to tell you. Here's where it lays. He don't want me to say this, but my brother sitting here, Gene Goad, that boy don't touch bread or water for days. Fasting and praying. Here's Pat Tyler, this other brother, sitting here by him. These men lay on their faces without food and water when I'm in a meeting praying for me. That's where it comes from. If there wasn't something like that, I'd go down. So here was men behind the scene. They weren't gifted to call the sick out. They weren't gifted to call people's names. They were gifted to call Brother Branham's name before the presence of God. They were gifted to do without food. They were gifted to pray. Think of it, children. Think of what your effect can have on other men of God. Not just me. Don't just pray for me. I love it and I thank you with all of my heart. I'm eternally indebted to you for praying for me. But don't just pray for me. Pray for the other minister brothers of our assembly. Other brothers that are around the world. Don't just limit it. Oh, you say, I can't think of nothing to pray about. I can write a few thousand names for you. I cannot come up with all kinds of things for you to pray for if you're running out. But you know what? It becomes to where we want to enter into a spot with one another. Can you imagine the success of Brother Branham's meeting? Not just me, Brother Branham alone, but the men behind him praying for him. Oh, I admire a man like this, don't you? And says, I done this and I done that and I done something else and I done something. He didn't have to say that. If he was a braggart and he wanted some type of something other after himself, he could have skipped this out. But this is the kind of man he was. I said, this is the kind of man he was. Yes, sir. Them men behind the curtain. Them men who prays for strength for a message. They lay down everything. Maybe they haven't got gifts to do those things. But they're putting every effort they can to support it. And the only way they can do it is prayer before God and fasting. There's where power lays. Let someone pray for you. How many knows personally that that's the truth in your own life?
Children, there's been things I've been through. There ain't no way in the world I could have faced it if you all hadn't been praying for me. You know as well as I do, when you go through things, whenever this happened to Jessica years and years ago, Brother Darrell, I was in touch with him on the phone. He said, Brother Donnie, have the people to pray for us. We can tell, you know, they're kind of letting up a little bit. You know how it is, we shift things around in priority. And you can actually feel the strength of the prayers of the saints of God. Why? Because there's something about you. God wants you to pray, and the devil don't want you to pray. And if he can get it in your mind, well, you've got to be in this certain posture, and you've got to be bending, or you've got to do that. You say, shut up, devil. I think I got the call for church tonight. Yeah. Brother Donnie had it. I believe he's contagious. I believe Brother Darrell's got it. I must have got around somebody tonight at the church. I've got the call for bad, devil. You better get out of my way.
Amen.
Oh, my. Let me have just a couple of minutes, can I? Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also help us our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I want you to notice this word here that Paul uses, likewise the Spirit, which is Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach. And remember, it was in the beginning when the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. It was Ruach. So Ruach moved upon the face of the deep and began to create. Now here is Ruach moving upon your troubles. Lord Jesus. Moving upon our problems and moving upon our chaos in our life. And the same Spirit of God that moved upon the waters, the face of the deep, and said, let there be this, let there be that. Now here Paul uses this word. And he said, it's now Ruach HaKodesh. The Spirit. So here is Ruach. Look at this word that he says. Likewise, Ruach also help us. I can't even pronounce the Greek word. But it is joint help. It is the assistance afforded by any two persons to each other. Who mutually, Lord have mercy, who mutually bear the same load or carry it between them. Children, we want the Holy Ghost to come and take our load. That is not the administration of Ruach HaKodesh. It is His administration to come and help you carry the load. It's not to take it from you. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Now watch how He enters into this. The Spirit help us. The word help us tells us the character of the practice of the Holy Spirit in aiding the believer. It is not help that takes over and does the job alone, but rather it assists one in doing the work. You ever pray for certain things to move and God to take it away from you? And it seems like that God will help you, but He won't take it away, and you get a little disappointed. And you realize what He's doing. He's doing exactly what His word said, but it ain't exactly the way you prayed. Now, you may have prayed, oh, God, please take this thing from me. God, I can't bear this thing alone. He said, okay, Scott, if you can't bear it alone, move over a little and let me share this load with you. And you're saying, oh, no, Lord Jesus, no, 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 no. You don't understand. You don't understand. I can't do none of it. He said, yes, you can. You're trying to get out from under it. The saint must do his part if he expects Ruach HaKodesh to come and help him. But if you do not do your part, the Spirit will not move upon the face of your deep. I love this. The word that he uses, the Spirit helps. Help us, which is present tense, which is keeps on helping. It is not that the Spirit helps in those occasional times when Christians are weak. Their state is one of weakness. And the Spirit continually helps them. Oh, Lord Jesus. Now watch, he said, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Asthenia, weakness, disease, sickness, want of strength.
The weakness referred to is our inability to analyze situations and to know how to pray about them. They just don't know what to say. You ever get that? You feel like the little boy? You just say A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. Because you don't know how to pray. And you say, Lord Jesus, I don't know what to do. God, please help me. But the Spirit, He's mindful and He's there. Now notice, sometimes He may groan out of you and use your own voice. And there may be other times that He will groan out of you and you'll never hear Him. Oh. For sometimes we don't know how we pray as we ought. So the Spirit is sent wherever He moves upon the face of the deep. The earth is not groaning. The earth is not doing anything. The earth is just submitting to the power of Ruach Elohim. It shows how loving and compassionate that our Father really is. That He wants to enter in to our sufferings. Now watch. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings. Which is a groaning or a sigh. Watch. Now Jesus in Mark chapter 7 verse 32. And they bring unto Him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech Him to put His hand upon him. And He took him aside from the multitude and put His fingers into his ears and spit and touched his tongue. The cougar treatment, shock therapy, psychosomatic, sahuko, takuko, I don't know what people would call it today. Looking up to heaven, he sighed, groaned, or sighed with grief, and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. John 11:33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, Lazarus is dead, now Mary and Martha, saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. How many of you have ever got alone with God and went far enough in prayer to when you didn't know when to say no more? And you stopped trying to articulate your words and say the right things and you just stayed in the presence of God, and maybe you would start groaning or just saying, you know, saying hardly nothing. Oh, oh, oh. You thought, this is useless. What am I doing? Is it really? Is it really? And how many times have you got totally silent and you thought, what am I doing? Nothing is happening. Really? Or was it the Holy Ghost within you, which never even took your vocal cords to express a groan? But Father heard him. And he knew you were so out of touch because you was under such stress and such. Have you ever been that day where you didn't know how to pray? Where you didn't even know what to say? Have you ever been there, friends? Have you ever been there where you didn't even know what to say and yet you get there and you think, Lord, I'm wasting my time? Because in our minds, this is what we think prayer is. We got to do all the talking. The prophet said that's a lot of our problem. We do all the talking when we go to pray. You mean that can be a problem? Yes. Sometimes he wants to talk. But you won't hear nothing. But it's like something from within you. I hope you don't think I'm a dummy. But it's just in His presence and you're laying there, sitting there, whatever it is. And it's just like you can't say nothing and you're not making no noise and you're not saying anything at all. But something is like you just feel it within you that's communicating to another dimension. Brother Donnie, that's witchcraft. It is not. It is the intercession of the Holy Ghost. But many of us have still got a Pentecostal concept that we think the holy way the Holy Ghost intercedes is another language. That's contrary to Scripture, friends. Let's stand. Notice this groaning notes the strength and ardency of desire, which through the fervency of it puts the soul to pain. How many of y'all ever heard your soul talk? You ever shook its hand? Seen its picture?
Y'all believe you got a soul? How do you know, though? You ever heard it talk? It does, though. It listens. It hears. It speaks. Right? It's sad, really, friends. But I'm afraid many of us miss this deeper degree of prayer because we think we have to be in control. We have to tell Him what we want, how we want it, when we want it. Instead of just waiting and letting Him do it. And just lay there sometimes or sit there in His presence when nothing is being said. And yet something supernatural is happening within you. Your private attorney. Your private attorney. It's the very same word, Paracletos. How can there be two intercessors? I thought Jesus was the intercessor. He is before the throne of God. This is not intercession for sin. This is intercession for your needs. You have your own private attorney in your soul. Maybe you wouldn't know what to say. And somebody come out and question your question. I'll let my attorney answer that for me. Somebody was haunting me last week and wanting me to give an interview and this and that. I just finally told him, here's my attorney. Call his number. It's a brother in the message. Brother attorney. I said, here's my attorney. Call him. My attorney took care of it too. In a nice Christian gentleman firm way. I got tired of being harassed. I got tired of being aggravated. My attorney sent me a text back and said, if that don't do it, let me know. I'll call him again. So you know what? I had my own personal private attorney. Because I didn't know what to say. I'm just an old country, dumb old country boy. I don't know how to deal with this sort of thing. I didn't know what to say. But I knew a man who went to school. I knew a man who was educated in the ways. Oh, I've got a man living in my soul. He knows how to pray when I don't know how to pray. He knows what to say when I don't know how to say it. He knows how to groan, Brother Darrell, when we don't even know what to say at all. Oh, I'm afraid, my friends, that we try to do it our own so many times instead of saying, my attorney, would you take this case? Hallelujah. Brother Calvin Ward had to leave the service. He was having really some severe stomach pain. Let's pray for our brother right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, Sister Ruth told me today that Brother Calvin was really hurting. Dear God, you see the need of our brother. We call his name before you tonight, Lord Jesus, and ask you to move for him. Father, we don't know what this is, but we bring it before you knowing that it's an urgent need, Lord. May the presence of God touch our brother tonight. May there be no evil that'll come of this, dear God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many wants to be a praying man? A praying woman? A praying young man? A praying young sister? God bless you, children. I love you so much. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The word that Paul uses here, he says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession. And remember, Jesus is the only intercessor. It's not intercession for sin. It's help in the time of need when we don't know how to pray. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And that word is articulated, which is the ability to put into words. And it says that our needs and our minds know nothing. Our speech could not utter it, even if we could perceive it. It is things that are too deep for utterance, to articulate in human language. Oh, if you've got the Holy Ghost tonight, you ought to be so grateful. Do you understand? This ain't for every Christian. Only for the saints. Praise God. The Spirit responds in sighs that are too deep to express in human words. He communicates in a way that is beyond human ability to say it. Oh my, it makes me want to get along with him right now, don't you? Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hey, let's just sing a little something before we go. I know your kids got school and stuff tomorrow. I'll try not to hold you too long on Wednesday night. But let's just sing a little something of worship to him. Maybe in moments like these, we sing out a song. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
In moments like
these, sing a little before we go now.
I sing out a song.
What kind of song is it, church?
I sing out a love song, song to Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
In moments like these,
to you, Lord Jesus,
I sing out a song.
Thank you, my Father.
I sing out a love song.
Singing
I love you, Lord. Singing I love
yes,
you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Singing I
do, Lord. Everybody all together now. Let's just close our eyes. Raise our hands and sing it to him.
Singing I love you, Lord. Singing I love you, Lord.
We love you, Lord Jesus.
Singing I
tentatively, we have a meeting set for the weekend of Easter. Our black brothers and sisters, once they heard the things that have been told about us, it has been absolutely overwhelming how many of them have called and want to do anything that they could do to come up and be with us. So, Lord willing, we're planning on a meeting in Easter. It'll be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Some of them may leave after the service. They were willing to come from Florida, from South Carolina, from Virginia, from different places to come and be here. Two services, leave after service Saturday night, drive back home 4.5 hours, 6 hours, whatever, and make it back home for Sunday morning service. That's something. But some of them could not come Easter, and they didn't really like it. So they said, can we have another meeting maybe 4th of July and we can come? So tentatively, we've got another meeting set the 4th of July. Amen. So we'll just enjoy all the blessings, won't it? It may crowd us a little bit and we may sweat and all that. It'll be probably difficult on the 4th of July, but I'll tell you what, I so appreciate their love reaching out to us. Amen. If we sweat so much we look like grounded rats, so be it. For them to express their love and come up here, I think it's so commendable. I've told them, brothers, I'll be eternally grateful to you for your stand. So we so appreciate that. So we just look forward to it. We know we'll have several going to the youth camp, of course, Easter, so it'll be a little bit easier, maybe crowd-wise, but we'll put chairs everywhere. We'll fill up the front out here, the foyer, the vestibule. We'll put chairs in the overflow over there. We'll just do whatever we have to do. We'll park cars wherever, you know, and we'll just come expecting the Lord to move for us. But in between now and then, we've got a lot of church to have, so we want to look forward for that too. Amen. I got a call today from Brother David Belton down in South Carolina, him and his church, and they wanted to come up and just visit with us this weekend. And said, Brother Donnie, we love you and loved you over the years, and just like one nowhere, we welcome. I said, well, most definitely you're welcome to come. So, Lord willing, they're going to plan on coming and visiting with us. And I said, well, Brother David, I'm going to be gone week after next in Arkansas. I might need to preach one service. No, I don't want to preach. I don't want to preach. We just want to come and sing and just stand with you and let you know we love you. And so I think, praise the Lord for brothers and sisters. Amen. Let's just bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, it's been so good to be tonight in your presence. Thank you for church, Lord. Thank you that we can still have church. I pray, Lord, that you go with your children now. Keep them, Lord, by your grace. Give us wisdom and strength, Lord, as we face things that we've never faced before. But we know you're mindful of us to help us and to be with us, dear Jesus. Heal the sick. Move for those that are down and weary and discouraged. These imminent needs, Lord. Brother Calvin and Brother Jimmy, we pray that you'd be mindful of them, dear God. Go with your children now, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you, saints. Lord willing, I'll see you Saturday night and Sunday morning again. God bless you. Go in the fear of God.
Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me, let it fade away. Jesus, draw me closer, Lord. let it fade away. Jesus, draw me closer, Lord.